called Brahmachari. Whether he is learning Karmakanda, whether he is learning Upasana Kanda, whether he is learning Vedanta Shastram, Jnana Kanda, whether he studies any part of the Veda or the entire Veda, any one Shaka, or he does Swadhyayanam, the Brahmachari means nourish his mind in the study of the Veda, in the Veda only. My mind is only in the Veda. He may be outside, but he is focused in his study. And he is called Brahmachari. When a Pachya person who is focused in the study of the Shastram, the Veda Shastram, with the commitment, naturally mind has been taken away from everything else also. Therefore, the person is given to the discipline that he has certain control, certain mastery over all his senses, and even his, there's no time for him to think of anything else. Therefore, he has certain mastery over his mind, the senses, certain mastery. I'm not saying 100% mastery, certain mastery over everything. Therefore, even the enjoyment of pleasures also. One who has withdrawn his attention even from overindulgence in enjoyment of any pleasures also. Of course. Therefore, the brahmacharyam, that lifestyle to be followed by a brahmachari, a student of the Veda, is called brahmacharyam. As a noun form. Brahmachari is adjective. Brahmacharyam is what? Lifestyle followed by a brahmachari is brahmacharyam. So here the brahmacharyam for an unmarried, there's a student who is in a school, in a college, in a gurukulam, especially as a Veda student, Shastra student, he's a brahmachari. Otherwise, even the person who is given to the pursuit of knowledge, study of the Upanishads, even as a householder also, certain mastery is supposed to have, which we saw how the Upanishad earlier mentioned as an advice to the householders. And following that discipline is also called Prajapati Vratam. It's following the discipline, it's called what now? Brahmacharya Vratam. We call it Gauna Brahmacharyam. Gauna Brahmacharyam means following strictly the discipline which has been mentioned earlier in the previous class. This discipline which was prescribed for the householder. It's called Gauna Brahmacharyam. And if a person, in due course of time, as he learns, as he grows older, as he becomes mature, completely he withdraws himself from the enjoyment of pleasures, then that is called Mukhya Brahmacharyam. As a student, definitely is young, not married. As an unmarried young boy who is given to, until marriage, is given to study of the Shastram, he is definitely a brahmachari. He follows celibacy and all that. And as a married person also, when he follows certain discipline, it is called Gauna Brahmacharyam initially. What was said in the afternoon, I said. Then later on, when he slowly withdraw from enjoyment of pleasures completely, then it is Mukhya Brahmacharyam. In fact, when we come to the Gurukulam, as sometimes the Brahmacharis, without entering into the Grihastha Ashrama, straight away they become sannyasa, take to life of sannyasa, then it's called Naishtika Brahmacharyam. For example, suppose when I became Swamini, like this, it's called Naishtika Brahmacharyam. You skip the married life, you skip other life, then straight away go to sannyasa life. It is Naishtika Brahmacharyam. Enter into the Grihastha Ashrama, then you live, enjoy everything in moderation, as strictly taught in the, enjoyed by the Shastram, that is called Gauna Brahmacharyam. Actually, when I taught you this samskaras, I don't know whether I did the class on samskaras, but I mentioned in the class, for us even marriage, vivahaha, is one of the 41 samskaras. The sacraments, English word, very close to that word, is not equally expressive. The word sacrament is used. We have 41 samskaras. I told you the word samskaraha means what? Samskaroti iti samskaraha. That which contributes for the mental refinement, refines the personality, isn't it? The unrefined, uncultured, uncivilized person becomes slowly, slowly, slowly cultured and refined. It's called what? Refinement. Samskritihi means refinement. Samskrita is a culture. The samskritihi means culture. That which contributes for the mental refinement of the person is called culture. What is culture in Indian, our Indian language? Samskritihi, culture means, no, that's a Western culture, this culture, no. Here culture means it should contribute for the mental refinement of the person. The personality development. Only then we call it a samskritihi. Samskritihi is a noun, culture, which contributes for the refinement of the personality. So samskaraha is the same meaning, masculine gender word. Samskaraha is a masculine gender word. Samskaraha. Samskritihi is a feminine gender word. Same meaning. Samskaraha, samskritihi, same meaning. Only difference is what? Samskritihi is a feminine gender word. Samskaraha is a masculine gender word. And we have certain rituals which are followed for the personality development, for the total holistic growth of an individual, mental refinement of an individual, which have so many, 41 we have. Some are prenatal samskaras, some are postnatal samskaras, some are done after the person is born, done. And one of them is what? Marriage. And antyeshti, antya ishtihi. The last ritual is called what? Antya ishtihi. Anta ishti, antyeshti. The last one, 41st samskara, that you will not be here, others will do for us. Okay? Antyeshti we cannot do for ourselves. Before birth also we cannot do for ourselves. Elders will do. So there are so many. And every ritual is not a social event. It's a religious ritual which also contributes for a social life. At the same time, it is done. It's a prayer. There's a prayer involved, worship involved, blessing involved, wishes are involved, good food is involved, and also what? It contributes for the mental refinement. Sharing is involved. Everything is involved. That is what is a samskara. So, and marriage itself is what? One of the 41. And marriage, if you say, what is marriage for? If you ask, there's a definition is there. Dharma praja abhivridhyartam vivahaha. Dharma praja abhivridhyartam vivahaha. Dharma praja abhivridhyartam vivahaha. So the very word tells you what is marriage for. One sentence tells you what is marriage for. And that is enough for you to understand how we should live our lives. Okay, so perpetuation of dharma, so marriage is for progeny, for the perpetuation of dharma. That is marriage. Once you have children, and children become, a whole focus, attention will be turned towards the children, they become the projects, means you forget about your pleasures. Mother and father both work on the well-being of the children all the time. They forget. Slowly everything, no? Life changes. That is why that earlier what I said was said. And such a lifestyle is called what now? Gauna. Even as a married person, you are living like a brahmachari. That brahmacharyam is called what? Gauna brahmacharyam. Doesn't mean life is not frustration. There is no frustration in life. There is a lot of love, there is warmth, there is care, there is affection, there is sharing, there is a companionship. Everything is there. You know? So that we say what a Gauna brahmacharyam. When you enter into this, through the Vasanyasa brahmacharyam, you go through this Vanaprastha ashrama, then what it is what now? Then Mukhya brahmacharyam. Mukhya brahmacharyam. It's a sannyasi also. Then if you skip the ashramas, go straight to the brahmacharya, the sannyasa ashrama, it is Naishtika brahmacharyam. Naishtika brahmacharyam. Nobody as a Naishtika brahmachari or as a Mukhya brahmachari, you know, being given to the Mukhya brahmacharyam lifestyle or Naishtika brahmacharyam lifestyle, no, there is no missing. Nothing is missed in life. There is no misery, there is no pain, there is no suffering. One naturally, with all maturity, grows out of desire for things. Mukhya brahmacharyam. So one has to develop, slowly learn to, but no, from Gauna brahmacharyam, one has to enter into Mukhya brahmacharyam. It's not, you are not compelled or forced. You are expected to understand life and grow out of it. That is the thing. So here, and such a vratam, that following the discipline of brahmacharyam is called what? Prajapati vratam. That's the main teaching. To tell you what is prajapati vratam, vratam literally means a vow, a sort of a discipline. So prajapati vratam, brahmacharya vratam is what? Prajapati vratam. I don't know how applicable, acceptable in the Western life, I don't know. But in India also people don't understand nowadays. But this is how our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, our parents have lived. That's how we are expected to live also. Even now, the family's conservative background, we still follow that strictly. Anyway, doesn't mean we are any deprived of any, enjoying any pleasures. That's also not true. Everything is enjoyed, but in moderation, understanding, limit, everything properly. So here, in this 15th mantra, the Prajapati Vrata Palam is mentioned. That's why I'm talking to you about it. Prajapati Vratam. What is Prajapati Vratam? Following Gauna Brahmacharyam. What is said in the morning is Gauna Brahmacharyam. And later on, becoming following Mukhya Brahmacharyam is called Prajapati Vratam. And here, what is the benefit of following Prajapati Vratam? That is said here. Those people, the 15th mantra says, those people, those who follow this Prajapati Vratam, definitely give birth to both boy and a girl. They will have definitely children, very good children who understand Dharma. You want, see, what is the use of having some, isn't it? Good children. The children who would be responsible, who understand the value of Dharma, the good children they will have. So, Shastram is Mithunam Utpadayante. See, don't ask people, those who don't follow Brahmacharya also have boy and girls, that not, don't ask me. Shastram says, there's a big difference, isn't it? Okay. Then only for such people, so Shastram emphasizes here, only if we follow this Prajapati Vratam, then definitely any other disciplines followed, such as what? Tapaha. Austerity. Also following other values such as disciplines, truthfulness, no, universal values, ahimsa, etc. also will contribute for the accomplishment of Brahmaloka. If you want, if a person wants to accomplish, attain Brahmaloka, wants to go to Brahmaloka, attain Krama Muktihi, wants to travel through Shukla Gatihi or Devayanaha, go to Brahmaloka, Aditya Loka, attain the Krama Muktihi, means definitely that person must be given to, must follow strictly this Mukhya, follow this Prajapati Vratam. Is it clear? Lot of Sanskrit words, I'm not confusing, no? Yeah, that is said. Tesham eva Brahmalokaha. And only those people alone can even go to Chandralokaha. See, that's what I said. Accomplishment of Sargaloka or Brahmaloka, Chandraloka or Adityaloka, whether you want to travel through Shukla Gatihi or Krishna Gatihi, even Shankara Bhagavad says very clearly, only then this following this Prajapati Vratam is important. Only then it is accomplishable. You have no simple, you cannot overcome simple pleasure. In the desire for simple and pleasure, then where is the question of accomplishing jnanam and moksha? Even lokas are not possible. What about jnanam and moksha? That is what is said. So again, the three words are repeated in the 15th mantra, important words, tapaha, Brahma loka means even Chandra loka in this context. You have to write this in the 15th mantra, the word Brahma lokaha means Swargaloka, Chandra loka, not Brahma loka. The word Brahma lokaha used in the 15th mantra means Chandra Lokaha. Some little change. Shankara writes over it. So even to attain Chandra Loka, Prajapati Vrata has to be followed. Okay. Then again, Upanishad emphasizes the threefold disciplines again. Tapaha, Brahmacharyam, then Satyam. So Satyam means what? So following Gauna Brahmacharyam, later on Mukhya Brahmacharyam, then Tapaha, then Satyam means truthfulness, which stands for all universal values. Only such people can travel through Pitruyana and go to this Sargaloka. We said in the 15th mantra. Only to emphasize. Now we'll go to 16th mantra. In the 16th mantra also, not only Chandra Lokaha, Aditya Loka, Brahma Lokaha also, to go to Brahma Loka also, one has to follow Brahmacharyam along with other disciplines. Suppose somebody follows only Brahmacharyam, not other disciplines, means what? No tapas, no satyam, then it's not possible, isn't it? So one has to follow Prajapati Vratam with other disciplines, tapaha, satyam, etc., to go to Brahmaloka also. Two different mantras, One mantra states the importance of following Prajapati Vratam to go to Chandraloka. 16th mantra states the importance of following Brahmacharya Prajapati Vratam along with other disciplines to go to Brahmaloka. So, Brahmalokaha, here the important word you need to know in 16th mantra is, the Brahmalokaha is given an adjective here, Virajaha Brahmalokaha. Virajaha Brahmalokaha. If we take that word Virajaha, Brahmalokaha has an adjective there as a Virajaha Brahmalokaha. Rajaha means impurity. Rajaha means rajas, impurity. The impurity implies here dukkham, sorrow. So virajaha brahmalokaha means dukkha rahitaha brahmalokaha. Virajaha brahmalokaha means sorrowless. There is no dukkham in brahmaloka. There is no sorrow in brahmaloka. In this loka also there is no sorrow, if we have right perspective. The immediate other question will come, I'll tell you later on. So virajaha brahmaloka means what? Brahmaloka, there is no sorrow. And you have to go to that brahmaloka, virajaha brahmaloka, where one can become free from sorrow. That loka also is accomplishable only if a person strictly follows this Prajapati Vratam in terms of Mukhya Brahmacharyam or Gauna Brahmacharyam initially, along with other disciplines such as tapas, etc. Okay. Then here, three words are mentioned here, important words, learn this. Jihmam. First word is jihmam. Three evils, okay? Jihmam is the word, first word. Jihmam, actually when you read it, ich is silent, jimmam. For you to write, I am telling this, okay? Jihmam. 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 Ha. H. J-I-H. Jihmam. But H is silent, so you have to say jimmam. Jimmam. Jimmam means perversion, negative thinking, motives, or twisting, distorting the fact, truth, etc. Called jimmam. Then anrutam, anrutam telling lies. Especially these are mentioned for grihasthas. In household life, we may tell lies, playfully we may say certain things, strictly it is said here. No, anrutam, anrutam means telling lies, not being truthful in speech. You may not be speaking lies all the time, occasionally one or two you may say. That is what is mentioned here. So, jihmam, anrutam, then maya. In the word 3, in the 16th mantra, jimmam, you know, perversion, anrutam, not being truthful, untruthful. Then maya here means hypocrisy, deceit, fraud. So Shankaracharya says, so along with Prajapati Vratam, if these are also not there in a person, and he is eligible to go to Brahmaloka. If there is jimmam, if there is no truthfulness, and if there is no, there is hypocrisy, then definitely Brahmaloka is not accomplishable. Chandraloka is not accomplishable. Where is the question of attaining Jnanamar, Moksha? Not at all possible. So here, Shankar Bhagavatpada says, Vakra Buddhihi, Kautilyam. No, Jimma means what? Kautilyam, Vakra Buddhihi. Crooked mindedness, okay? What is Maya? Shankar Bhagavatpada says, Bahihi Anyatha Atmanam Prakashya, Anyatha Eva Karyam Karoti. Externally, you appear to be different, but mentally, you are different. Ullondru veithu puramondru pesudal. External behavior is not in alignment with your thinking. Because externally, you appear to be righteous, but in your mind, all your thinking is now against dharma. That is being deceitful. That is called what now? We say maya in this context. Only in this context. So if these are all there, forget about your upasana will be useless. Any amount of meditation you practice, it will be useless. And any amount of pujas you do, it will be useless. They may produce some phalam, but it's impossible for one to go to any loka, to enter into any gati. No gati. Gatihi means what? Gatihi means going to higher lokas. No shukla gatihi will be open for us. Definitely not even Krishna gatihi. Therefore, no swargaloka, no brahmaloka. Never even, not at all, jnanam or moksha. So what is important? That is why Pujya Swamiji made very clear when he taught Karma Yoga. That word I can never forget. Nobody has made so clear like that. Karmasu Kaushalam Yogaha. Karmasu Kaushalam here there means what actually? Discretion in action. It is not simply perfection in action. It is not efficiency in action. It is not mere skill in action. It is actually discretion in action, which means definitely one has to strictly follow the values, universal values. And be conscious. Therefore, the thought, word and deed must be in alignment. Strictly follow these disciplines. Only then the mental preparedness is possible. How to sharpen my intellect? If the question comes, how to sharpen my intellect? How to remain focused? How to avoid being a split personality? See, being a split person, not following values means being a split personality. Being a split personality means what? Definitely being disturbed, remaining disturbed. Remaining disturbed, how can you meditate? What can you achieve in meditating? How can you sit for meditation? What japam can be done? Isn't it? So 100% of anything, it may have some punyam, but it's not definitely, it will not serve the purpose. It may have some punyam, but it will not serve any purpose, really speaking. Therefore, the dharma is very much emphasized. Finally, with the 16th mantra, the 15th and 16th mantra, Upanishad with hesitantly started want to say something. Finally, openly, without any hesitation, openly it mentioned, said it, come on, this is how, as a mature individual human being, one has to live one's life. If you want to accomplish really higher goals in life, definitely this is very important. So even there's no third thing, okay, there's nothing bigger than that. What is the greatest accomplishment? Moksha. So what do you need to do for accomplishing moksha? You need not do anything. You need not do anything for moksha. You only need to know. Knowing is discovering, knowing moksha. Knowing the truth as knowing the self is knowing moksha. Knowing moksha is what? Attainment of moksha. Nothing needs to be done. But for you to know the moksha, to discover moksha, to know the truth, to know your own swarupam, to understand actually what this I is, for which you need to do the shastra shravanam is important with the help of the teacher. For the shravanam to be effective, thereby for the mananam to be possible, finally for you to be able to be contemplative, definitely you need to follow choicelessly dharma. Because there's no way of becoming intellectually sharp or emotionally stable without living a life of dharma. Finally, everything boils down to what? Living a life of dharma. Very important. And not just the life of dharma, not simply being ethical, but being morally also strong. It means even being disciplined in one's life. The world is meant for enjoyment. All the objects in the world are meant for enjoyment. All the sense powers are given for enjoyment. For us, what is the enjoyment for, if we say, enjoyment, it's of objects through all the five senses. Ultimately, is for us to enjoy, experience, enjoy, understand the limitation of it. Enjoyment of pleasures is not for getting indulged, not for remaining indulged in the enjoyment of pleasures forever, like a buffalo remaining in a slush. Okay, it is for us to learn the limitations, to know the limitations of all the objects of enjoyment. You are not asked to deprive. Now, nobody needs to be deprived of the enjoyment of any pleasures. You can have, everything is meant for enjoyment here. But that's why we say, Parikshalokan karmachitan nirvedamayad brahmanaha. Once you experience, enjoy means, you should also know the limitation of it. You must be sharp enough to learn, to know the limitation of it. Yeah, I have enjoyed everything. What have I gained it now? Does it have the capacity to remove my smallness, remove my problems, remove my emotional problems, remove my entanglement? 1 second I cannot be by myself. I need the companion, I need the company, I need to be with something, I need to do something all the time, run here, run there. Isn't it? Why? Because this is all our expression of our problem, fundamental problem. It is not that one person has the problem. It's a common human fundamental problem. Wherever ajnanam is there, ignorance is there, it is very natural for all of us to have all those problems. That is why understanding the problem is very important, then managing the problem is very important, then later on, only by following dharma you can manage the problems. By in knowledge you can completely become free from problems. Only sarvam jnane parisamapyate, only in jnanam you can free yourself from all problems. Until jnanam you can only manage. For managing, only way is what? Dharmam sharanam gacchami. There is no way of other than following a life of dharma, living a life of dharma. What is emphasized here? Ultimately, for jnanam and moksha, for the mind is needed. The mind which is needed, the preparedness that required on the part of the mind is accomplishable. Jnanam is possible. Accomplishing shravanam is possible. Shravanam will be effective. Mananam will be effective. Shastra is always available. Nididhyasanam, of course, will be definitely possible. Accomplishment of ascertainment of vision is very, very easy. What is difficult is accomplishing the contemplative disposition of the mind. That is difficult. People with the understanding what is contemplation, what is shravanam, what is knowledge, simply if they are given to the practice of meditation, they may be calm. They must then meditate. But still even then, there is no way of removing ignorance. In meditation, you can tame the dog by giving biscuits. You cannot change its nature, isn't it? The ignorance cannot be resolved. Mere practice of meditation, there ignorance will not be resolved at all. Well, shravanam is important, mananam is important. Therefore, jnanam alone you need for moksha. But for that jnanam, to have the disposition, you need to live a life of dharma. What are the three important things? Tapaha, shraddha, brahmacharyam. One more, without any hesitation, Upanishad has added prajapati vratam. What is prajapati vratam? I will not repeat. Already told you. Gauna brahmacharyam, then mukhya brahmacharyam. We should not go and tell, follow this mukhya brahmacharyam or for gauna, mukhya brahmacharyam we have to tell anybody. Anybody. Gauna brahmacharyam we should go and tell newly married people or, you know, who are still entered into the grihastha ashrama life. This is for people, you know, show the age and all that. Okay. So, prajapati vratam, brahmacharyam, tapaha, shraddha, all these things are very important. So, leave alone jnanam and moksha. What about brahmaloka? Brahmaloka praptihi, for which, again, upasana is important, karmas have to perform, the performance of rituals and the practice of upasanams, all that is possible, they'll be effective only if you strictly follow these disciplines. Only then any loka prapti is possible. Even how many of your rituals you perform also, without following these disciplines, no shraddha, no brahmacharyam, no tapaha, you know, no satyam, then even that also is not possible for us to earn the punyam adequately, enough punyam to be able to travel through this Pitriyana and go to Brahmata, this Chandraloka also. So any loka praptihi, two lokas, loka where you have to return, the loka going where you don't need to return, then jnanam where you attain moksha right now here itself to accomplish anything. Timeless moksha, time bound, either karma muktihi in Brahma loka or time bound Sorgaloka, to accomplish anything, you apart from the efforts you are putting in this performance of rituals, practice of meditation, and they will be effective only if you strictly follow tapaha, brahmacharyam, shraddha, all these things. This is what is emphasized in the last two mantras. Whether we like it or not, this is a fact. Most of the time people avoid Prashna Upanishad. So I didn't hesitate. Because it's all bitter facts we have to tell. Understand? With this, first chapter is over. So what are the three important words I told you? Not important words, the words you need to understand the meaning. No? The words, the 16th mantra, Virajaha Brahmalokaha. Brahmaloka, you know what is Brahmaloka. And then, Virajaha means adjective for Brahmaloka. Then I said, Jimmam Anritam Maya. In this context, the word Maya does not mean karana prapancha or anything, cause or anything. Here maya means hypocrisy. Which means being a disintegrated, a split personality. With this first question's answer is over. 14th mantra answer is over. These two mantras are also given. So next question we'll see tomorrow morning. Okay? Tomorrow morning, before I start the second question and the answer, I'll quickly summarize. Present you, give you the summary. Okay?
Can I just ask, what is the difference between Vrittam and Satyam? Unwritten is...
Yeah.
Unwritten is telling lies. How is that different?
Yeah, I'll tell you. See, that's a good question because this I also taught in Chaitra Upanishad also. Vrittam vadishyami, satyam vadishyami. You heard. See, there the context is different, isn't it? The word rhythm, the vowel r, rhythm means truthfulness. Rhythm also means truthfulness. Rhythm also means truth. Truth, rhythm also means truthfulness in speech. It's a discipline. Satyam also means what? The truth, the reality. Satyam also means truthfulness in speech. As a value, it is a truthfulness in speech. So, yatharta bhashanam means speaking as it is, not hiding, not changing, not anything. No? That is yatharta bhashanam is satyam kathanam. Satyam, rhythm is a synonym of the word rhythm. When both the words come together, rhythm and satyam, there Shankara Bhagavatpada wrote a bhashyam. Suppose rhythm also means truthfulness, satyam also means truthfulness. Then what is the difference there? Knowledge of the value is called rhythm. And following the value, implementing the knowledge of the values in day-to-day life is satyam. If both the words come together. Otherwise, generally, rhythm also means truthfulness in speech. Satyam also truthfulness in speech. And opposite of satyam is asatyam. Opposite of rhythm is unrhythm. In Sanskritam, if a word begins with the vowel, suppose if a word begins with a consonant, you had to put a before it to make it a negative. Satyam, asatyam. Papam, apapam. Not sinful, we say what now? Apapam. You put a before that, it becomes what? Negative word. But if a word begins with the vowel, you can't write a. There you add an. To make it a negative, to convert a word into an opposite, to get an opposite word, you add a before it, becomes opposite. A negative, gives negative meaning of it. Satyam, asatyam. Whereas rhythm, the first letter r is a vowel. If a word begins with the vowel, then what you have to add is not a, an. Unrhythm. Suppose you say anandaha. Simply anandaha, happiness. What is ana? Non-unhappiness, anānandaha. You can't say anandaha again, isn't it? You can't put a. If a vowel, if a word begins with the vowel, to get a negative meaning, opposite of it, add an. Rhythm, truthfulness. Unrhythm, untruthfulness. Rhythm, unrhythm. Got the meaning now?
So, the
rhythm
is the vowel,
right?
The
rhythm
in rhythm is the vowel, right?
Yeah. Rishihi. Yeah. Rhythm. In Taittiriya, we came across the sentence, Rhythm vadishyami, satyam vadishyami, tannamavato, tadvaktaramavato, avatumam, avatuvaktaram. There we came across rhythm, unrhythm. சத்தியம் அசத்தியம். சோ அன்ருத்தம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? அன்ருத்த வர்ஜிதம் சியாத். அன்ருத்தம் மீன்ஸ் லைஸ், நோ, நாட் பீங் ட்ரூத்ஃபுல் இன் ஸ்பீச், அன்ருத்தம். சோ த சத்திய பாஷணம் இஸ் சோ மச் எம்பசைஸ்ட் இன் சாஸ்திரம். நாட் ஒன்லி தட் இம்ப்ளைஸ் அஹிம்சா ஆல்சோ. Why I should speak the truth? Because my telling lies will hurt the other person's feelings. When a person comes to know I told a lie, that person will feel hurt. This himsa. Therefore, why I should not cheat? My cheating will hurt a person. A person comes to know that I have cheated. My betraying will make a person will feel hurt. My person, no, will feel hurt when he comes to know that I have betrayed, I cheated, I robbed, I stole something. That is why all these are why I should not do, ultimately for not hurting. That is why what now? If you strictly follow one value, all the values become followed. That is why we say what? Ahimsa is one value, umbrella, and a sin. All the values come under that. You don't need to do anything which hurts other person's feelings, other person, which, that's why ahimsa is paramaha dharmaha. If you strictly follow one value, all the values become followed naturally. Again, context also is there. Listen, context, where, who. So there sometimes things will come. Simply, when we say this, so come and ask, why did Rama kill Vali standing behind? They immediately, though they don't ever make efforts, how I can live in a simple life? You don't need to go and kill anybody like Rama. Not such a big challenge in life. In my day-to-day life, how I can live my life of dharma? That we have to think. They all go for all the crooked things, what are to justify how I can do wrong things. We people also have to ask all questions. So here, why Shastram is saying this? We have to understand. Finally, as long as I don't hurt other person's feelings by vacha, manasa, indriyehi. Listen, whatever I do, I see that I take care of. See, not hurting other person's feelings, not wounding, not causing an injury, being non-violence is such an important value. The whole Vaidika Dharma, the Vedic way of life, is what? Based on this one most important value, Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. So following Ahimsa does not mean you being a coward, being weak. Okay? Not mistake, not weakness, just strength. Okay, this is one thing. Then any other doubt? That? You asked the word vratam, no? You asked the word vratam? Vratam? Yeah. Got it now? That one. Ritam I made very clear. Satyam I made it very clear. How they mean the same, if they come together, how you should take it also I told. Then vratam literally means a vow. So following any vow also, being committed to follow certain disciplines strictly is what? A vratam. So ekadashi day I will not eat means what? Even if you happen to see the food which you like the best, even if, no, still I make my, you can never get such a food again. Yeah, best thing you are getting. No, I made up my mind, I will not eat means what? This is a vratam, it's simple. It also we call it a vratam. At least vratam is a vow. But when it's a prajapati vratam, or any vratam here is what? A discipline. Strictly following certain disciplines, you know, for one to overcome, to get rid of, to manage one's own mind, thoughts, emotions. It is not suppression. See, following disciplines is not a suppression. you are not asked, forced, impelled, compelled to punish yourself by suppressing your disease. Don't mistake it. Now, many people don't understand all these things. The Shastram only, Shastram never said, there's no, we don't have do's and don'ts in the Shastram. Do this, don't do that. No. Shastram only tells you do's and don'ts, how the Shastram tells. See, if these are the things, if you follow this, it is easy. If this is the end, first Shastra makes it very clear, are you interested in this end or not? If you want this end, then this is the means. No shortcut method. Doesn't make you simply believe it. It makes you think, it makes you see the fact of the knowledge being the only means for moksha. Even the Shastram says knowledge is the only means for moksha. In fact, mean, there's no means or end. Knowledge itself is the end. Because you are not forced to do anything. You are not simply, you know, emotionally blackmailed here. You are made to see the fact how knowledge is the moksha. Jnanameva mokshaha. How knowledge is moksha. You are made to see the fact. You see the fact. The whole problem you have is because of ajnanam. That's why nobody is responsible. All that you need to really understand what ajnanam is. So make all possible efforts to resolve the ignorance. Even we are not destroying the ignorance also. We never use the term destroying. We are not ignoring, destroying ignorance. Dispelling. Dispelling means what here? Actually, we are resolving ignorance. And see what this ignorance is, it will resolve. See what this snake is, it will resolve. The same way, see, understand what ignorance is. Ignorance will resolve. For resolving the ignorance is what ajnana nivrittihi. That only by resolving ignorance, you can discover your freedom. And for resolving ignorance implies what? You need to know what that, only you need the knowledge. Knowledge of the truth. In knowledge, ignorance resolves. Along with the resolution of ignorance, you also discover what? The moksha, a very swarupa. This is what this is made very clear. If this is the end, and the most important thing is, Shastra makes it very clear that moksha being your choiceless end. That we have to know. If we don't understand what is moksha, how moksha is a choiceless end, if we do not understand, you can never have purushartha nischaya. It's a choiceless end. The word choiceless is very important. One simple word, choiceless. Moksha is a choiceless end. You have to know for you to see the knowledge being the moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. Even though we say knowledge and moksha, knowledge is the means, moksha is the end. We say, okay, knowledge is moksha. All that you need only jnanam. That shows. If you want, okay, if you want jnanam, then you must have this disposition of the mind. You must be contemplative. But being contemplative means you must have that contemplative disposition of the mind. The disturbance-free, distraction-free, quiet, isn't it? Pure mind you need. And for that, contemplate. What will you contemplate upon? You need Shravanam first of all. What will you contemplate upon? So for you to contemplate upon, you should know what to contemplate upon. So the Shravanam is also important. So Shravanam is important, Mananam is important. Then it has to be followed by meditation, contemplation. And for you to be contemplative, you need that mental disposition, and that is possible. Meditative disposition is possible only if you are free from, you know, only if you have conflict-free, pure, disturbance-free, steady mind. That how are you going to earn that? How much money will help you to earn that mind? No money, no anything will help. Just dharma. living one's life consciously and seeking Bhagavan's ways prayerfully. And being thankful to Bhagavan for what all you are blessed with. So worshipful, prayerful, righteous, ethical life, way of life. Shastram says, what is a, that's why way of life, Shastram tells. If you followed, live this way of life, you can get that. If you don't live this, follow this way of life, Sanatanaha Dharmaha, applicable, suitable for any time. That's why Sanatanaha Dharmaha, eternal way of life. The Hindu Dharmaha, Sanatanaha Dharmaha, there's no do's and don'ts, a way of life. If you live, if you follow this way of life, you are living your life in conformity with Dharma, no, without transgressing Dharma. At the same time, you are not harming anybody in the, you let others also live in the world. What a beautiful life that is, isn't it? That's why, naturally, once you follow this Dharma, Karma Yoga lifestyle, then a sadhu, you are a sadhu. Sadhu means a good person. Who is a sadhu purushaha? Being good means just following the Sanatana Dharma. Understand. Simply, there's no point simply saying, I'm a Hindu, Hindu. Understanding this way of life. So once you are living this way of life, means you are following Dharma. They don't go against Dharma. So Shastra doesn't say, don't do that. Hey, if you do, if you follow this lifestyle, what you are going to accomplish? If you do not follow this lifestyle, if you are going against this Dharma, means it only shows your ignorance. What ignorance? You are ignorant of the greater value of what you are going to miss by not following Dharma. If you know, we are all very clever, na? If you are intelligent, oh, let me not miss that. Then you, nobody needs to tell you to follow Dharma. You will follow Dharma yourself. Then even disciplines also, you don't feel compelled or forced. With understanding of the importance and the value of discipline, when you follow, it becomes a joy. Without understanding, when you force yourself to follow disciplines, it's a burden, a frustration. It results in anger and hatred and all that. This is the thing. That's why we never say that. So this is what all I need to tell you regarding Brahmacharyam, Tapas, Shraddha I have said. And Shastram Pramanam. The Shastre Astikya Buddhihi, Pramana Buddhihi, never ever question. Will Shastram help me? Is it not possible to attain? Which means people who were not exposed to Vedanta, do you think they wouldn't have got knowledge at all? We are not answering such questions. The people who attain jnanam without being exposed to Vedanta, I don't know. Let them have. But if you want jnanam, there's a, now you can try other way. But here, without any such arguments, just have shraddha. Because no time, we are wasting time unnecessarily otherwise. Have shraddha in Shastram, understand the teaching, live the teaching, follow the teaching. That's the only way. So with this, first chapter is over. The second chapter, we will continue tomorrow. First I'll summarize, then I'll go to second chapter.